I had done a number of things which perhaps were different from what other women in the White House had done because of the difference in circumstances.
Eleanor Roosevelt remains the most prominent and controversial First Lady in American history, the First Lady against whom many others have been measured, most notably Hillary Clinton. Talking History's Eileen Dugan, professor of history at Creighton University, recently investigated the facts of Eleanor Roosevelt's life and the public's memory of her with Alida Black.
When we think of a president's wife, certain images often come to mind. Of Jacqueline Kennedy giving her TV tour of the White House, or Nancy Reagan standing close to her husband's side, looking at him adoringly as he gave his speeches, Hillary Clinton battling with the media, or Laura Bush telling us that it's going to be okay. And then there was Eleanor Roosevelt. Our memories now of her tend to be in grainy black and white. We're always told that she was a great lady, but we often assume that it was merely because she was FDR's wife. But who was Eleanor Roosevelt? What made her revered not only as a First Lady, but as a citizen of the world? With us today to examine the public life of Eleanor Roosevelt is Dr. Alida Black, director and editor of the Eleanor Roosevelt Papers at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Dr. Black.
Hello, Eileen. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. What tends to be the public memory of Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, I think it's very polarized. People either adore her and think that she is as close to an American saint as we will ever have, or she is the personification of everything that's wrong with what some people think of as mushy-headed liberalism. So I wouldn't say that there's one distinct image of Eleanor other than to say that everybody understands she was powerful. Nobody really knows what she did.
And what do we base our opinion of her upon?
Well, I think it comes from several factors. First is what we've now begun to see is the way she contributed to FDR's administration. There's the statue of her in Riverside Park. There's the statue of her in the FDR Memorial in Washington, D.C. So she's beginning, you know, to pop up into American popular culture, if you will. She's even in the Broadway show in the movie Annie. She's had her own PBS American Experience documentary. She's had her own made-for-TV docudrama, if you will. And what we see is this woman with this huge heart, this infinite commitment to make America better, who just goes out in sort of a mythic way to heal the country. And so that image, I think, is indelible in our psyches. We just don't really know what it means.
How would you describe Eleanor Roosevelt before she married FDR?
Boy, what a great question. I would say she was profoundly curious, that she was battling fear and already forming her own concept of courage, that she had a clear understanding that she must make a contribution to her community. She just wasn't sure in what area that contribution should be made, whether she should be a history teacher in Allenswood Academy, the school that she attended, whether she should work in settlement communities, or whether she should focus her life specifically on sort of the noblesse oblige that the Roosevelt family had followed for generations.
When did she become involved in politics or in public service?
Well, public service I would trace back really to her high school years at the Allenswood Academy in London. Eleanor writes later that when she was 5 years old, she began to have some taste of public service when her father and her uncle, who was President Theodore Roosevelt, would take her to holiday dinners where they would serve the orphaned and the poor newspaper carriers. But I think seriously in her own right, she really became involved when she was 16 and when she was 17, as she began to travel Europe with her great teacher, Marie Souvestre, and they began to explore settlement communities and different political groups in Europe.
How did, after she married FDR, how did his entry into politics affect her political activities?
Well, that's a very interesting question because in many ways his entry into politics curtailed her political activities in some arenas and catapulted her activities into other arenas. So it's Eleanor had her own political convictions and her own political commitments before FDR entered politics. She did not actively engage in Democratic Party politics until FDR did. But before that, if you look at politics as a way to work with immigrants, to work with sanitation issues, to work with health care and child labor and the living wage, Eleanor definitely was political before FDR. What FDR's entrance into her life did was give her a new arena in which to apply those skills. And she does that quite well until she begins to have children. And then, as she says herself, in 10 years, in the first 10 years of her marriage, she was either recovering from having a child or about to have another one. And so her political activities are curtailed somewhat. But then she begins to become political with an amazing amount of energy that was there before FDR got polio.
And what did she do after he contracted polio?
Well, she not only helped facilitate FDR's recovery, but she, and to keep his spirits up, she also began to create a new life for herself in the process, because she was able to find her own voice in a way that changed the dynamic of FDR and his mother and his wife, if you will, and was able to speak for FDR out in the communities while behind the scenes exerting her own significant influence on the way the Democratic Party in New York State was organized, in the way that labor unions operated, in the way that reform organizations communicated with one another or turned their backs on one another. And perhaps I think the biggest example of this is in the area of foreign policy, when Eleanor was asked to chair the Bach Peace Prize Committee in 1924. Now, this was an international competition to sort of design a replacement for the League of Nations, which we now know as the UN. But Eleanor was such a well-known figure in her own right that she was asked to co-chair this international competition. She testifies before Congress on this issue, and this is not an FDR issue. This is an Eleanor issue. So she really is very much a political heavy hitter in her own right.
And one of the interesting aspects, I think, about her is how she was able to latch on to the media to get out her message. How did she use, for example, newspaper and radio to advance her causes?
Well, she was brilliant, I think, because not only was she a subject, she was a participant. I mean, Eleanor always defined herself as a journalist, and she proudly carried her Newspaper Guild union card in her wallet until her death. So she used media because she was a columnist, and she did not use ghostwriters. She wrote her own columns, whether it was the My Day column of the White House years, or whether it which ran 6 days a week, or whether it was a monthly question and answer column in one magazine, or editing the Democratic Party newspapers, newsletters for both the state and the national committees. She had her own radio show. And before there was public television, Eleanor works in the 1950s on education television broadcast out of Brandeis University, where she does Prospects of Mankind, her own public interest interview show, if you will. So she was a master of the media because she was both a subject of the media, but she also, as a journalist, helped construct her own image for the public. And if the media got something wrong, especially after the White House years, she was not shy in the least about correcting them.
So how unusual was it for a politician's wife to be so prominent in the media?
Well, that's very unusual. There were other politicians' wives who certainly got a lot of coverage, but there was not another politician's wife that was a such an active journalist in her own right. So she was definitely one of the kind there.
How did her work contribute to FDR's campaigns for a political office, for example, for governor or for president?
Well, in 1928, when FDR is running for governor of New York for the first time, Al Smith writes this great letter to Belle Moskowitz, and Al Smith was the Democratic nominee for president that year and was also the outgoing governor of New York. And he tells his key aide that one of the reasons that we have to have FDR this year is that his wife is more well-known among the party faithful than any Democratic operative in the state. So she played a huge role in organizing upstate New York, which is traditionally Republican, for the Democratic ticket in 1928 and really helped turn out record numbers of votes for FDR. And then in 1932, while she did not campaign in front of the cameras, if you will, she played a key role behind the scenes in helping organize women Democratic precinct officials, if you will, or party leaders or activists to really get the Roosevelt message out. And in 1940 and in 1944, she played key roles in really saying to FDR that you are going to have to campaign. You can't take this for granted at all. And if I could jump backwards a little bit, in 1936, she worked closely with Molly Dewson, who was head of the Women's Division of the Democratic National Committee, to really organize women to get out to help turn out what was a landslide victory for the Roosevelt ticket.
What were Eleanor Roosevelt's activities while FDR was president?
Oh, boy, we could talk for 10 years about that. She continued her My Day columns. She wrote several books. She toured the country, not only as an active observer for FDR, but as a critical observer, an astute observer, if you will, of New Deal policies to see how they worked and how they didn't work. She served as an ombudsman to bring people to FDR whose opinion she thought he should really hear for himself. She was the driving force in the White House to create the National Youth Administration and the Federal One programs, which are the Federal Writers Projects, the Arts Projects. She was a major champion of housing reform in the Roosevelt White House, as you know from her work in the Arthurdale communities in West Virginia. And throughout the war, she played a key role in different civil defense organizations and also in creating the Fair Employment Practices Commission, which abolished discrimination on race in the defense industries.
How did the Roosevelts respond to Pearl Harbor? I mean, we know the day that will live in infamy speech, but how else did they respond to it?
This is my favorite story. And it's December 7th, 1941. Pearl Harbor has been bombed, and Eleanor has a regularly scheduled radio broadcast that night. And so the first voice that the nation hears from the White House on Pearl Harbor is Eleanor's. And she gives an unscripted, completely off-the-cuff, impassioned address to the nation the night of December 7th, talking about fear and living in a time when we suspected something like this might happen, and what our responsibilities are now, and what as citizens of the world, and what our responsibilities are as citizens to America. So Eleanor really plays a key role in helping shape FDR to women and to young people and to her radio audience the day before FDR gives his great date of infamy speech in Congress.
What did Eleanor Roosevelt do after her husband's death? What were her activities?
Well, she was appointed to be a member of the first delegation to the United Nations by Harry Truman. And as a member of that delegation, she helped shape the refugee policies of the United Nations. She was one of the principal architects of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. She joined the board of the NAACP. She was an active campaigner for Democratic candidates. She wrote a variety of books on specific issues, whether it's on the United Nations or whether it's on India and the Awakening East or etiquette, or two autobiographies or books on substantive public policy issues. She was a whirlwind of activity.
And she was also involved in civil rights
as well, right?
Absolutely.
Eleanor Roosevelt had one of the largest FBI files in American history, and about 90% of that relates to her positions on racial issues. As I said earlier, she was on the board of the NAACP, but she also spoke out passionately and with intense conviction on racial justice issues in the United States. And by the middle of World War II, she is saying democracy may fade or grow as we face this problem. By 1956, after the Brown decision, she will say we are all on trial to show what democracy means. And there is no domestic issue to which Eleanor Roosevelt dedicated more of her life after the White House than civil rights. And this conviction elicited several assassination attempts on Eleanor, and the Ku Klux Klan placed the largest bounty in its history on her head.
Wow. We only have a moment remaining, but what would you consider to be Eleanor Roosevelt's legacy?
Courage.
Very simply put.
That's it. Because she had the absolute strength of conviction to believe that democracy would never be perfect, but it was the last best hope, and that we were all on trial to show what democracy means. And so she risked her life, her money, her reputation, and her health to do that.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Black.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We have been talking with Dr. Alida Black, director and editor of the Eleanor Roosevelt Papers at George Washington University in Washington, D.C.
Much of what you did was done as a symbol of what the White House meant to the country. It represented the people's house, where they, as a whole, as a nation, dispensed hospitality to foreigners, to Americans of note. And your life, at least the formal part of your life, became something a little outside of yourself.